Attention musicians, do you want to hear your music on vinyl but just can't afford the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting houses require? Well, you might want to do a short run, maybe 1 to 50. And Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to their page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right. Promo code HDIGH gets you 10% off. That's Austin Signal, gang. Go get some vinyl. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I had a pretty busy weekend, got back to work with Skyrocket Friday night. We played at Hanover's in Pflugerville, it was a packed, crazy show. It was a lot of fun though, I'll say that. Afterwards, I went and had a drink with a couple people over at a bar down the street. I went bar hopping in Pflugerville. It was pretty insane. Anyway, it was fun, it was a good time. Got up Sunday, did some stuff, and then took a nap, and then headed to Dallas to play a show at the Rustic. Another great show. A lot of old friends were there, people from Crystal Clear. My friend Chris Mahart and his wife Jenna. From Chris Mahart from my first band ever. We've been friends since junior high. Pretty much since 7th grade, 6th, 7th grade. Bros. Anyway, it was great seeing everyone. We had a great show, and then afterwards, I was going to go meet some folks for a drink down the street from the hotel I was staying at. It was going to be great. It was going to be great. There was a fabulous party that was happening somewhere. I just needed to go to my hotel, make sure that my gear was safe, maybe change my shirt because I was super sweaty because the Rustic is outside. And I was super excited to do this. Got to my hotel, walked in, got in line. Corey, the bass player from Skyrocket, was a few people ahead of me. And he turned around and like nodded no. And I was like, oh, what's up? I look. He's talking to the guy. He's like, yeah, they overbooked. And our rooms are booked through Priceline. And I didn't get a confirmation number. But what I was told was basically like once their hotel starts booking, they start kicking the Priceline people out. And so I was instructed that I had to call Priceline and work it out so that they could find me another hotel. Okay, well that just totally blew my let's hang out after the show and have a great time vibe. So I was like, well, fuck it, man. Got my car. And I drove home, which was good. I mean, I was up. I mean, you know, I didn't really get tired until I got to Georgetown, which was good. And it was no traffic. Thank God there wasn't one of those things where they closed down the whole freeway to work on it on a Saturday night when you're trying to drive home from Dallas after a gig. That's happened to me many times in my life, many times. Anyway, I got home about 3:30, got up early, went and checked on my dog Taylor and his buddy Trace. And then I came back and napped the rest of the day and then went to a barbecue over at my friend Taylor Muse's house. You know Taylor Muse from Quiet Company. He had a barbecue last night. It was great. I took some sausages and some beer, threw some sausages on the grill along with the hamburgers and hot dogs. Had some sausage and a hamburger. Found three dudes in a corner talking about rock and roll. Stuck it there. I just moved right in, hung out. Hey guys, what's going on? I'd met all those guys throughout the years somewhere along the line. So we all kind of knew each other, but we just started talking rock and roll. And I mean, it was like super grass, super drag. We talked about Sponge. Remember that band Sponge from the 90s? I talked about they were a terrible band I saw live. And then those guys started talking about Sponge. I went outside, smoked a cigarette, came in a few minutes later. They are still talking about Sponge. We deep dove into some. I should have recorded that whole thing because it was pretty badass. Actually, I should have asked them all to come over and, hey, let's just talk rock on here about bands we want to talk about. Anyway, it was a really great time. And I ran into today's guest there, Aubrey Hayes. Yeah, she was there last night. I ran into Aubrey, or I saw Aubrey for the very first time a while back when I went to go see Daisy O'Connor's EP release show. And Aubrey opened for her, and I was blown away. And Taylor Muse was there, who had the barbecue last night. He's playing bass in Aubrey's band. He told me, hey, yeah, we'll introduce you. So I met her. She's fucking great, 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 great artist, great songwriter. She's got a new EP coming out soon. You can find her at aubreyhayes.band, but she does have a lot of songs on her SoundCloud. So get out there and find it, man. I fell in love with this one song called The Spell. So I think that's the one I'm going to play on here. So Aubrey has new music coming out. Find her at aubreyhayes.band. Get involved. She plays around a lot. I was supposed to put this out, but she played Friday at the Mohawk with Quiet Company. Hopefully that was a good show. Maybe you were there. But anyway, I had a great conversation with Aubrey Hayes. It was great getting to know her. She's a fantastic artist, a great songwriter, and a really fun hang. So without further ado, gang, please enjoy my conversation with the fabulous Aubrey Hayes. Let's get down.
I'm a witch, I'm an enchantress, some may say. 'Cause the things I will into being have an awfully funny way of coming to be. I also have a funny way of focusing on.
Do you like wings?
I'll eat wings on occasion. I'm mostly vegetarian.
Okay.
But sometimes I break for chicken. Like, chicken is the only thing that I really ate growing up, other than fish. There wasn't a whole lot of red meat going on.
Was it your parents were non-red meaters?
No, my dad's very much into red meat. My mom is, like, slightly into red meat, and then I think me and my sister were just picky.
Yeah.
So we just...
Oh, you were a picky eater growing up?
I was very picky.
Oh.
I was very picky. Like, fried foods only, kind of picky.
Wow. Where'd you grow up?
Mississippi.
That's a good place to get fried foods.
Yeah. No, it definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in Mississippi.
Gulfport.
Mississippi. Yeah.
Most people know Biloxi.
Yeah.
But it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah. I played in Biloxi once, and a very bad situation went down.
Oh, no. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. The police wanted our band to leave our hotel.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It had a lot of drinking the night before involved.
Okay.
And a lady gave me Xanax.
Oh, no.
I tried to go to New Orleans with some people that I met in the parking lot.
Nope.
So Gulfport, Mississippi, that's not like the most open-minded place that I think that somebody like you would be growing up.
Yeah, no, I mean, people are kind of confused when I tell them I'm from Mississippi. Like, I usually have people guess, and they think, like, California or...
Yeah, or somewhere weird like Alaska.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this American exotic thing going on.
I guess so. You know, the town I live in was very close to New Orleans, so we did spend a lot of time there. My mom's stipulation to raising children in Mississippi was that she wanted to be close to New Orleans, so my dad moved us to the coast.
So what did they do? What was their...
My mom ran a theater program for youth.
Okay.
And started at, like, a community theater, and then she moved to a nonprofit children's museum and started up a program there where she ran it for 20 years. She just retired from it.
Wow.
Yeah, made it a huge program and got donations from, like, Emeril Lagasse, like, went to the White House for, like, little awards that she won. I mean, not little awards. They were kind of big deals, you know, as far as the nonprofit world goes. And then my dad was a radiologist. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is he not around anymore?
He's still around. He is a radiologist.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't know why I said that in the past tense. He owned his own practice, like, was a radiologist, and then retired for a little bit, but he still does it for veterans hospitals now.
So there was, like, a practical side.
Yes.
And then there was an artistic side.
Yes.
I wonder which one you gravitated towards.
A little bit of both, I think.
Yeah?
I'm very type A, but I'm also creative, so it makes for some, like, interesting mishmash of the brain.
Yeah.
I like to start a lot of projects, but that sometimes means I don't finish all of them.
Right.
Because I'm an idea haver, and I just, like, have ideas all the time.
Yeah. What kind of student were you? Were you, like, a...
Oh, I was... I put a ton of pressure on myself. I
really?
Had zero fun in high school. Like, no fun.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, I did. Vassar in upstate New York.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a good school.
Yeah.
What'd you study there?
Theater.
Oh. So are you pretty theatery?
I guess so. I did it for my whole life. You know, my mom grew up in a playpen in a community theater and then was at a museum all the time with her doing her programs. So yeah, I did a lot of dance, I did theater, I did band, I did choir, I just did all the like performy things
yeah.
that you could do.
There's a certain ease to your stage presence that now I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't always like that for the music. I feel like it was a lot more challenging to kind of do that as a musician versus someone in a play with lines
right,
to read.
Right.
Because in a play, you think a lot about your character and like what your physicality is like and like all these really tiny, minute details that help you form this person on stage. And when it's music, it's just you. And you have to figure out like who you are on stage. And that can be different for some people than like who they actually are in real life. But like, I think it's a kind of journey to discover your performance persona in a way, because mm-hmm. it is a slightly
it has to be yeah,
like you're not hey everybody like yeah. all the time like in your everyday yeah. life like yeah. freaking people out
yeah.
that would be weird, but like I don't know, it's interesting to develop that and to kind of finesse that a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you definitely have an ease up there. And also, man, I have to tell you, you are so amazingly talented.
Aww.
Like I was just blown away that night.
Thanks.
And really moved. Like you are an amazing songwriter, you're an amazing musician and singer, and that looping thing that you did where you made like a little choir out of your voice, like mm-hmm. from Snow White sounding thing. It sounded like a Disney movie. That was amazing. And then you covered Take On Me. Mm-hmm. What was the other song you gave the people a choice?
Oh, that or What's Up, Four Non Blondes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I gave you the big... Yeah.
Big no.
I gave you...
like, okay, heard that.
We hadn't even met and I was already heckling at your show. Mm. Well, I don't like that song.
I understand.
You like it?
I do.
What does it mean to you?
It was one of the first songs that I heard, I think, and just really resonated with the lyrics, you know? One of the things that was kind of an early forming thing for me was Hurricane Katrina,
because mm-hmm.
it rolled through my hometown when I was 13.
Yeah.
And at that time, I remember really getting into classic rock, like Queen and Journey and just, you know, all this stuff that I hadn't really heard before, because I grew up listening to like a little more easy listening kind of things. I mean, there was Janis Joplin and there was like Beach Boys, Beatles, Janis Joplin, the kind of thing. Like they're a little more easy listening than like some of those like more intense things. But I got really into hard rock and like not hard rock, but like classic rock and pop rock. And that was one of the songs I remember stumbling upon and being like really entranced by the lyrics, just like the storytelling of it all. And wondering, you know, what's my life going to be like when I'm 25? Am I going to feel that way? You know, like...
Wow.
I remember thinking those things, and I don't know.
Were you already playing music then?
Oh, yeah. No.
When did you start?
I was 4 when I started piano.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't play piano out too much right now, but I'm working on it.
There was a song... I just played it for the people at Austin Music Foundation, because your name is getting around.
Oh.
When I told them, I'm doing a podcast with Aubrey Hayes, this girl Emily that works there was like, she's really blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know what that means, but
okay.
I saw her blowing up on the stage at the Cactus and she blew my mind. But your song, The Spell,
okay.
Wow, man, beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you a Laura Nyro fan? Do you know who that is?
That sounds familiar, but I would not be able to name you.
Just like a person whose influence is bigger than her songs.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like the Velvet Underground, like, you know more about how many bands the Velvet Underground inspired than, I mean, I'm a big fan of theirs, so it's different, but most people. Anyway, that song, The Spell, is beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's a nice piano ballad.
Mm-hmm. I got a few more of those that are not out there yet.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got a lot of songs that I haven't released, and I think it's been...
You just have that SoundCloud stuff.
Yeah.
That's so weird that you've got... You know Jamie Harris?
Jamie Harris.
She's a singer-songwriter.
I think in town, right? Or no?
She's kind of in town now. She's gone a lot.
Okay.
But she was here for a while.
Right.
But she was one of those artists where it's like, you see her everywhere, and she's always playing, and you're like, where's that record, lady?
Mm-hmm.
You got some stuff on SoundCloud.
I do.
But you don't have like an official sort of...
I will, in the next few months here, have an EP.
Talk to me about that. What's going on with that?
We've been recording at King Electric, Recording Co. It's been really cool. My parts are all done. It's just the final mixing and mastering to be done.
Who's doing that?
David McDonald.
I don't know.
I met him through working with Austin Uncharted. I helped them with their social media for the little YouTube series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And... yeah, we talked a little bit about like what my goals were, and he's been helping me make it a reality, and it's sounding really cool.
And your band Taylor Muse from Quiet Company, who's been on the show many times, but he's playing bass in your band?
We're about to have our first rehearsal on Sunday, like full band kind of thing. Yeah, I've been going over and playing things with just him, and like now we're gonna start doing the full band with Connor Engel on drums, and then Ethan Ames is going to be my lead guitarist.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really cool, though.
What's that cool electric guitar you play?
It's an Airline.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that thing.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
She's my favorite.
It kind of looks like the guitar St. Vincent plays.
I know. I love those guitars. They're really light.
Yeah. Just, I was thinking about getting one.
So smoothly.
Yeah.
Have you ever played on one?
Yeah.
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 They're really cool.
They are cool. All right, so you're waiting to mix the album, and it'll be coming out later in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, people can still go to your SoundCloud.
Yep, they can still listen to SoundCloud. I'm also working on uploading some more YouTube videos onto my channel. Probably more like covers and things, but I'll probably try and get some demos of them recorded at least. I'm going to be launching a Patreon soon as well. So like a lot of things in the works.
Yeah.
But we're getting it all done. We're going to do it all.
What do you have a day job that you work?
Yes and no. I cater for like 6 different companies in town.
Oh, that's cool.
I was in the service industry full time for like almost four years. And
doing what? Waiting?
Bartending, baristing, waiting. Yeah, all the things. Pretty much anything front of house, I did it. I've just been kind of like using my skills out there to be able to pick up stuff. So I've been gigging, and I've been doing the catering. Occasionally, I have friends that need help with like their pop-ups. I have a really cool like personal friend that is doing some amazing work as a in-home chef / like pop-up person.
Oh, cool.
So I'll go help her with like kind of her customer service side while she works more with the food.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like flying by the seat of my pants right now, because I'm hoping that like things are gonna keep picking up, you know,
with the music.
Yeah.
Are you looking to like go on the road or?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
When did you move to Austin?
In 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you started, did you move here to play and stuff?
I knew Austin was a great music town. I also had a job that I got straight out of school at like a startup downtown.
Cool.
And worked there for a hot minute, realized I was not cut out for office jobs, and I won't say that completely. I think I could do it again. I think it would just need to be the right fit. It just wasn't the right fit for me. Mm-hmm. And so that was when Lyft was pretty new to town. So I quit my job, started driving Lyft and hitting up open mics. I got a job with a cover band.
Oh, cool.
So I was in that for like a year and a half.
What was the cover band doing?
Just variety party stuff.
My Girl.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Brown Eyed Girl. Pretty
Al
Woman.
Green, you know,
Al Green.
Yeah. Bruno Mars. Lady Gaga. Let's stay together.
Yeah. Bruno Mars.
I went from singing like, when I had you to myself, I didn't want you.
Yeah, I do that.
Like, what the heck is happening?
Oh, so you were the main singer of it.
I was one of the main singers. I was in it with another girl, Sydney Scott, who I'm working on a country comedy duo thing with at the moment.
Oh, really? What is that?
Well, we're not totally done with all of our songs yet. We have about 3 written, and we're going to try and write 5 and then start doing some like shorter things. But it's called The Antique Ho Show.
The Antique Ho Show.
Ho Show.
That's good.
The Antique Ho Show. And yeah, we were just writing really explicit stuff that makes us giggle. So,
what's explicit? You can be as explicit as you want on here.
So, I mean, one song that we have written is called Golden Showers. And,
It's
about what you think it's about.
Yeah.
We also have written one called Sorry I Can't Come. And, we're in the process of writing Pizza and Vibrator Kind of Night. And Please Don't Touch Me, You Watch Me Grow Up. So be on the lookout for those.
Please Don't Touch Me, You Watch Me Grow Up.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that song finished?
No, not yet.
Okay, I gotta hear this stuff.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah. Please.
I'm trying to get my passion out.
I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
You can't throw this curveball at me, though,
because
now
sorry.
All of a sudden, like,
now
I'm obsessed with the Antique Ho Show.
Yeah, well, I'm
going
to join 1,000 bands for Enjoyo.
So, what'd you get out of the cover band? Like, did you learn? I mean,
yes. Okay, actually, a lot.
Yeah.
It was the first time I'd performed music like that since I was, you know, a kid. And we did our family band. That was what I grew up doing, was doing like a bluegrass family band.
With your family?
With my mom, my sister, and then this other guy who was a family friend named Joey. But he always got mistaken for her dad. So,
yeah.
You know.
What was it called?
Wing and a Prayer.
Was it a Jesus-y band?
Like, yeah, kind of.
Did you grow up like that?
Bluegrass. Yeah.
You grew up in the...
Yeah, I grew up, I was baptized Methodist. I went to Catholic school. Before I went to college, I converted to Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then I went to college and I studied all these sorts of things about Eastern religion. And now I'm just like, I don't really think I'm a religious person. I'm more spiritual. And I feel like the spiritual kind of side of things comes out more when I'm like connected a lot with nature. And I just feel like that's kind of where I recharge and get energy. And
how do you do that? What, do you go for walks in the woods?
Yeah. You know, in college I used to, we had a farm like not too far away from the school. So I'd run there and go in the farm, and it was just beautiful. It was, you could run all up and through the trails, and there was snow, and it was gorgeous. In Austin, I hit up the swimming holes, obviously.
Yeah.
I love to like be near the water. I think growing up on the water makes you really want to like have access to water. And if I don't, I feel a little bit weirded out. Like I'm just like, I just need to go stare at a placid pool for a second. Like,
interesting. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know why.
Unless you grew up like that, you don't understand what people mean.
Yeah.
Or people don't understand what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like growing up though there in Gulf Shores, is that what it's called?
Gulfport,
sorry.
Gulf Shores is Alabama.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. It's all like the Redneck Riviera, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
So where did you, what was it like growing up there? I mean, was there, did did you, I mean, you're obviously a person that is unique.
Right.
And that can be frowned upon in small towns for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wasn't like so accepted. I think that in like the schools that I went to, I didn't have a lot of friends in the schools that I went to as far as elementary went up until kind of later in elementary. I was one of those kids that would make friends with the new kid and like become really good friends with the new kids, and then the popular girls would be like, well, if you want to be friends with us, you can't be friends with Aubrey anymore.
So you were like a transitional, like a gateway friend.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I guess I was like kind of mean girled a lot in elementary school. I had a couple of close friends then, but I could, you know, probably like two.
What did that do to you? Like, what, you know?
It definitely made me insecure. I was in ballet as well, and I wasn't like as good as the other girls, but like the other girls were doing it way more full time, and I had 8,000 things I was doing at all times.
Yeah.
And like there was this one girl who literally like pulled my hair on stage once during the middle of the recital, and that's when I quit ballet. I was like, no more. I'm not going to the school anymore. I didn't understand like why people did that, but I definitely didn't fit, you know, the norm of what a like good Mississippi girl should be. I don't know.
Right. No.
I was a nerd. I was
interested
in other things. My parents are pretty spendthrifty with their money. However, the one thing we did spend money on as a family was traveling. Mm-hmm. They took me to a lot of really cool places, and I don't think I really saw the value of that until way later in my life when I realized how expensive vacations are.
Yeah. But also getting to experience other places than just
Mississippi. I think it broadened both like me and my sister's horizons as far as like what we thought was possible. And then, I mean, Hurricane Katrina happened, so we did stay for the storm. We were there. And it took us about like 2 weeks to get out because people had to come in with like chainsaws, get trees out of the driveway. We had to go somewhere to get gas and then drive as far as we could on what gas we could find. Hopefully make it to a gas station.
And you were how old? 13?
13, yeah.
Wow.
I remember us like being in my mom's car and we were like in line for gas and it was on, like running on fumes, and me and my sister just like sobbing in the back being like, we're going to get stuck. We're never going to be able to leave. which wasn't true. Like there were a million people in line, so we would have just gotten pushed. But like, I remember just like kind of freaking out about it. And it wasn't until like, I mean, that whole experience was a little bit of a blur. When I like look back on it, I can remember like very like few small things, but like, when something like that happens, you just don't really fully know what's going on. It's
right.
It's absurd. I remember us walking down to the museum where my mom worked, and there was just like 3 feet of debris, like everywhere, like in any direction you looked, like tall. And we were climbing over debris, like making our way, trying to go inside. And we went inside, and there's all this just shit inside this museum. And, their looters have already been upstairs and they've stolen the plasma TVs from the interactive sections of the exhibits. It was like a kind of like a war state. Like my dad had a gun on him at all times because there were people out looting and like committing crimes and like raping and murdering people. doing whatever they...
How old were your other sisters? Are they older or younger?
My sister is two years younger than me.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how much raping actually happened, but it wouldn't surprise me.
But the thought of it is scary enough.
Yeah.
Like, right?
You know, like, resources were limited. You know, people were being, like, shot outside of Radio Shacks that tried to loot the stores by police. And, like, they had, like, holding signs say, like, you shoot, or you loot, we shoot kind of things. Like,
fuck.
It was weird, man. I remember, like, the weirdest thing that sticks out in my memory. Have you ever seen War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
with the like the newer one with Tom Cruise and Dakota Fanning. Remember like all the tree, like the trees with the clothes in them?
Yeah.
It was like the trees had like had the clothes in them and there was just like no signs of life. And it was just the most bizarre. You could smell gas everywhere because like all these lines were done. Like,
Traumatic experience for kids.
This was before I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have an email address. I don't even know if I had like AIM yet, like AOL Instant Messenger. A lot of my friends were like, yeah, we're going to stay. Like they told me like they were going to stay. And like, we would drive over to where their houses were supposed to be and they were not there. And I was just didn't know
if they were alive or dead.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to not know for like 2 years. And that's how long some of it took. Like, I didn't know where some of my friends were until like 2 years later.
Wow. How do you, like, if a hurricane starts coming now and you see it, do you get a...
No, I mean, I call my parents because the Weather Channel tends to, like, blow things out of proportion a lot. Everybody was commenting.
Even them? I never watch the Weather Channel, but I'm like, even they have to do it? I thought they would be the ones that you could count on for an actual...
Like, I mean, you know, they can tell you what something is going to be, but they were like freaking out. I remember not too long ago about a category one storm. That's like really not anything.
Yeah, it's just category rain one, and wind.
It's really not bad.
Yeah.
But I remember people here being like, oh, your parents live there, don't you? I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, are they going to be okay? I was like, yeah, I think they'll be fine. Like our house withstood a category 5 hurricane.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, okay. So you moved to Austin to start working at this startup. You started driving. You didn't work there for a hot minute, and then you started driving Lyft.
Lyft and you know
playing open mics. What open mics were you playing?
Oh, House Wine, Kick Butt Coffee, CU29.
I don't even know. I know Kick Butt Coffee, but I don't even know the other places you just mentioned.
Yeah, I kind of got like my own little community going in those places, and a lot of the people I met then are like still my friends now.
Oh yeah,
and we are all kind of doing our thing and making our way, and it's just really cool to see. I think I'm really proud of my friends who have stuck it out, you know, and who have continued trying. It's just cool to see, and it's cool to like live here now because you go out and even if you're not sure if you'll see anybody, you know, you hit up that one place where you know somebody, and then you see like four other people. And
I like that about this town.
I love it. That's why I loved my college campus. It was small and I could walk across campus and say hi. Like, you never really felt alone.
Yeah.
Because there's just like a supportive community. And that's what I learned about the Austin music community is once you are in it and you like show, like,
once you find your people
up and like respecting the work that it takes to do it.
Yeah.
People are endlessly there for you. Like, they are there for you.
Yeah.
And that is so cool.
Daisy told me she saw you play and just was, like, totally taken aback. And Taylor Muse as well. John Neese, I know, who owns Austin Signal Studios, was blown away at that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. I was blown away. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you have a really great, you have a gift, and you can tell that you've worked on being this person. Mm-hmm. You obviously have a lot of talent. How old are you, do you mind me asking?
Yeah, no, I'm 26.
Yeah, when you're 26, you don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm 50, I care. I don't care, but you know what I mean.
I don't think I'm gonna, the number of the age thing, let's say, I don't really care about it. It's like, I think it's about how you feel.
Yeah.
It's about how you feel. And that was something that was so evident to me about like having an office job and like not really giving this the old college try before I like, you know, I'm not saying like I won't be like hyper successful and like be able to make a living off of like just doing this. Like that would be the dream. That would be the goal. That would be really cool. But I know, you know, I'm not stupid. I know it doesn't always like last and it doesn't continue and it, you know.
No, but I mean, it seems like you have learned how to diversify. I mean, like I don't know what you know about me, but I came up in a time when you could make a living having your own band and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and touring around mm-hmm. in a van because it was cheap to live.
Yeah.
And you made more money at shows then.
Right.
And it was easier to make an impact. Mm-hmm. There weren't as many people doing it. There weren't so many distractions in the world.
Right.
And as I got older and things changed and the landscape changed, things started happening. I play in a cover band, and I work with the Austin Music Foundation, mm-hmm. started this pod. You know, eventually you just kind of like you find ways. And right. also there's other interests you're going to have that you got to feed in some
way. And, you know, I think that where I'm at right now is I just want, the main question for me that's always on my mind is this going to support what I'm doing with my music? And if it doesn't, if the answer to that is not yes,
yeah,
then I got to cut it, you know?
Yeah.
But if there's some value, if it's some of, and you know, and sometimes that's, you know, taking a catering gig so I can afford, you know, like new gear. Like,
right.
That's also a yeah. thing. You also have to have like a job per your vocation. But
you also need to be able to buy stuff. I mean, sure, uh-huh. it'd be awesome to be just a person who plays music and doesn't do anything all day, right. which is a lot of what I see people dreaming that as being.
See, I don't.
No, you don't seem like that at all.
No.
You know?
That's not my dream. I think I have to work a lot harder for my dreams.
Yeah.
Than just, I don't want to just be a gig, you know? Like, I love to write. Like, I can't stop writing. And a lot of the stuff that I write, I feel like not wouldn't necessarily be like the best thing for me to sing out. Like I would love to start writing for other people. I would love to.
I think that you totally could.
I think I've talked a little bit about with my friends, like some of the sync stuff and designing specific content for like sync libraries and, you know, writing stuff that's not necessarily something I'm going to put out there, but like, would UPS buy it for a commercial? Maybe like,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
that's I'm starting to see like the different ways of dollar signs that there are with this industry because mm-hmm. the entertainment industry is huge. It's the largest like industry in the world right now. I mean, especially if you combine like video gaming with that. And there's a lot that's going on that I've been doing some research on about like, it's kind of like a choose your own soundtrack video game type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be ways for artists to essentially score video games and have multiple different options for like a video game soundtrack, essentially by the Black Keys or like what, right, you know, right. or whatever.
Right.
Like, and I think, I mean, with Netflix too, they're kind of doing that with their movies already as like choose your own adventure kind of thing. But they're talking about, at some of these more like techie talk things about personalizing the music option as well with the content.
That seems weird to me because I think mm-hmm. somebody like Quentin Tarantino or Martin Scorsese mm-hmm. puts so much time into
picking
what yeah. song is happening. Right. Like sometimes they are like, I want to have a scene, but it has to be this song. So sometimes they have the song already going. And then they'll do a scene that...
Design
whatever.
It.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. But yeah, I guess, I mean, with that choose your own adventure thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there were books like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're doing that. I mean, the whole entertainment industry is going to become very experiential because people are, you know, are feeling that lack of, like, contact. I think that a good example... that I can think of right now is Billie Eilish when she released her last album, like had an entire like pop-up in New York that was like a walkthrough version of the album essentially. And she
wow.
hired artists to create an interactive immersive experience.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Right. It also seems like just from so many years of playing, watching with the audience, seems like the audience is having a different and a personal experience. And mm-hmm. if they're holding up, like this whole last weekend, there were so many people filming themselves, mouthing along to the words while we were playing. And it
right.
seems so odd.
It like, is odd.
This is like you're, hey, You paid money to see me play. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I mean,
but people
like want some kind of connection.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like, because we're so lacking behind all these screens, and it's.
But they're watching the show through a screen.
I know, but it's still like they want people to know that they're connecting. Like it's.
That's what it is, though. Yeah. It is like a self-aggrandizing mm-hmm. thing where you're not doing it because you want to connect with the artist. You're doing it because you want to let everyone know you're there so that nobody thinks you weren't there.
The FOMO thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool that your age and you're cognizant of that of the strangeness of that.
I mean,
because there's a lot of people your age and a little older and a little younger. I find that people my age, I'm 50, people my age and older sometimes are more immersed in their technology and phones than even younger people,
right.
Less engaged in their surroundings.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Instagram. I think it's a lot of fun and like I use it all the time.
Sure. And it's a double-edged sword where I did a little bit of a video of you at that thing and I posted it because like, oh, I like this person. I want people to know. So we're all guilty of it on some level.
Right. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think it's just where
it's just different.
It's dangerous is people tying their social, like their worth to it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I think personally that's where it gets dangerous is if you're a little bit obsessive with it. And I think that the way I kind of quell that is looking at the numbers is more like data and like performance markings as far as
sure.
Okay, this is this kind of post. Like, what did I do here?
Mm-hmm.
How can I replicate this or like improve it or whatever?
But you're not going to get depressed and think nobody likes you because
right.
you only got
no,
26
not.
Likes on a yeah. picture that should have gotten 180 or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's you got to be careful with with that stuff.
Yeah. You do.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you grew up with it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
What about Snapchat? Do you care about Snapchat?
No.
I heard that Twitch is gone.
Twitch is gone?
That's what I heard.
They stopped streaming?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it's something like...
I don't think Twitch is gone.
Sometimes I misread things. I don't know.
Vine's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, Vine's been gone for a long time.
Vine's gone.
I feel pretty proud about that one because I wouldn't get in Vine.
Right.
People are like, dude, you got to do Vine. I'm like, you know what?
I never did Vine.
Instagram's going to do videos soon. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, boom.
And then it did.
There we were.
I just don't, I don't understand why Snapchat is relevant if we have Instagram.
I don't know what, I know Snapchat makes people look like rabbits and it's really upsetting
but
to me.
But now it's... It's just straight upsetting. I don't like seeing people's rabbits.
Or that weird smooth skin thing that people do that's equally as upsetting.
Sad. I think it's so sad when I see like all these like older ladies in my community.
It's like a Kardashian filter.
It's just...
You have that weird...
I want to be proud of my wrinkles when I have my wrinkle. You know, like...
I
think that'll be cool.
I have these cousins that are plastic surgeons and... I was at the beach with one of them, my cousin Billy, and we were looking out at the water, and he looked at me from the side, and he just reached over and went, "You know, I can fix that, dude." And I was like, no, I don't want to be some weird-looking guy.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery guy.
It always just looks strange.
Yeah. Young people get it.
Yeah.
Botox. Like, people in their early 30s, I know people that do it.
Just, why don't you just inject some cancer juice? You'll be...
Yeah.
A-okay. I don't know if it causes cancer. It's chemicals in your face. It's got to be not great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You never know with those things, but it does seem weird to inject another animal's poisonous fat into your cheeks to not be wrinkly.
Yeah. It's strange.
When you're wrinkly, you know what I mean? What somebody saw you last week, like, hey, you got all your wrinkles taken off. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I know there's like this rumor in the beauty industry apparently that you stop producing collagen when you're like 25, which is absolutely not true. You don't stop producing it, but they sell all these products to make you think like, oh, you need collagen in your stuff, but it's like actually if you just like don't drink super regularly and you you know, take care of yourself and like get the proper nutrients, then you will have collagen.
Do you drink
Occasionally you know, I have my own complicated relationship with that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. There's people that do, man.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a me, it's like a family thing.
Sure.
And so I'm just a little more conscious.
Yeah. I'm a very good times. Like, I don't have a bad,
right.
Bad, you know, I don't think I lose control.
Yeah.
I laugh a lot and have a good time, and then I don't drink. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, I'm not at all.
I'm a small lady, so if I have any more than two, then it's just like, no.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't do any favors for me.
Yeah. I like that you refer to yourself as a small lady.
I'm small. So small.
So, man, I guess people can get out and hear your SoundCloud thing, and the links are at your website on there?
Yes, there are links on my website. I will...
AubreyHayes.band.
AubreyHayes.band. You can find me on social...
Bandcamp.
AubreyHayesBand.
No. SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. SoundCloud, not Bandcamp just yet. Bandcamp soon. Patreon soon. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Don't follow me on Twitter. I never post there.
Why?
I don't get Twitter.
There's some people that say that. Like, I don't get it. What is it? Why is it there? And you're like, it's great.
It's not my thing.
Once you start your comedy band, you got to get on there, man. That's where the funny people are.
I'll probably do, you know, maybe that's how I'll figure out Twitter. Because I feel like with comedy, it'll be a little easier to like come up with things to post. I don't know. I just never know what to post for my stuff that's like super melancholic. I'm like, how do you like tweet something about melancholy? I feel like tweeting is kind of like an antithesis to melancholy.
I mean, it like, also has its weird
joyful.
Yeah, I'm tweeting.
I'm tweeting about myself.
Well, I don't know. We do have a guy that's making Twitter a very dark space.
I think that's another reason. I hate.
You don't want
to. I don't want to. Not. I hate politics. I should know what's going on in the world. I just like it's too much for me. Like it is too much.
I think it's too much for everybody right now. I think that no matter what side you're on, you gotta say like it's crazy out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No, it is crazy. It's nuts.
It's crazy out there. You know, I have a friend that is a like a really mean right wing commentator person, lady, and you know. I don't get into it with her, but she gets into it with my friend Paul. And one night the three of us hung out, and I was like, this is great, man. This is like, you guys are like, you're talking it out. You're right. Doing what everyone else isn't doing. But anyway, she when I was in Houston a few weeks ago, she was like, oh, I'm going to come on your podcast and we'll do this thing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I went and read a bunch of her stuff and saw a bunch of her appearances. And I was like,
uh-oh.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called a libtard.
Oh God!
You know what I mean? Like that's not the world I live in.
No, no, nah.
And I think of myself as post party.
Post party?
Yeah, I feel like I'm an American. I'm not a. I think there's a weird game going on, and I think the people that lose are the people that need,
and the people that fear.
People
that feel the other, fear the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole reason everything's falling to shit.
You got to have a team and you got to have you know what I mean?
People want to point fingers and they want to say, this is the reason everything's falling to shit. It's like, no, it's inside of you. Like, that is the problem.
Yeah. It's all falling to shit because you,
Ugh. One of my favorite people to listen to right now, just because I'm going through some horde times, is Lizzo. And I watched one of her videos, her like live videos the other day. And
on Instagram
or no, just like on YouTube.
Okay.
From one of her concerts.
Oh, okay.
She gives a big long speech beforehand. I forget what the video is called, but it's wonderful. And she says things to the effect of like, if you can love me, you can love yourself. And if we can love ourselves, we can make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, I was in my room, like quietly crying because I cry at everything. Now I'm like, I'm turning into my mother. I cry all the time. About happy stuff, like funny stuff, like something that's too cute, I will cry at that.
like a person that just had open heart surgery or something.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, you're feeling stuff.
I guess so.
Better than being closed off.
Yeah, I agree.
That Lizzo, I love her so much, man.
She's fantastic. She yeah. just has a really great message, and it's kind of what everybody needs right now.
Yeah.
It is straight up what everybody needs right now.
Yeah.
And I respect her for coming out and just, like, balls to the wall and, like, doing it, you know?
Tits to the wall, more like
Tits
it.
Tits to the wall. Yes.
She's naked a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
Everybody should be. That's her
Everybody
message is, like, there's
more.
No reason.
Why aren't people naked?
Why aren't people as comfortable as I am?
Actually, at my college, it was pretty liberal. So I lived in kind of like the more quirky side of the senior housing. And I remember when it was hotter and it would rain, like it would just like it would be everybody out like naked, just chilling out, like sitting in the rain, chilling out naked. And I would do it too, because it's fun. It was liberating, and like there are not a lot of places in the world you can do that, and people won't look at you like you're insane.
No,
I mean, there actually are more places in the world, just not a lot of places in America that you can do that.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think nudity has to. I think one of our other mistakes as a country is like nudity only as like a sexual thing.
Right.
It really like messes a lot of stuff up for people.
Yeah. That whole thing of the Puritan and the mm-hmm. the judgment and the whole yeah. thing, Catholicism.
Well, it's like, Renaissance art was like all about the nudity. And yeah. like, that was how many years ago? And we're like, oh God, well, no, like, you can't put a nipple on Instagram.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, all right. Like, cool. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, what was your major in college?
Theater.
All right, theater.
I studied a lot of like, Eastern religion, Russian literature.
Were you in any plays?
Oh, yeah.
What were you in?
A lot of musicals. I did Hair.
All right. That's a naked play.
That's a naked play. I was naked in that one. I was naked in a few plays. My parents didn't come to see a whole lot of them because it was kind of awkward. But Spring Awakening, I played Venla in that. I played Chrissy in Hair.
Who is Chrissy in Hair?
Chrissy is that one that sings the, like, the dumb song. Do you know what song I'm talking about?
We'd sing it.
I'm at a boy called Twinkle Hills on September 12th, right here in front of the Waverly. But unfortunately, I lost his address. It was great. It's in the middle of like all these really sad things happening.
Yeah.
And she's just like,
it's towards
here.
The end when the guys, mm-hmm. yeah.
Exactly. I'm about to spoil Hair for anybody that's
yeah. whoever hasn't seen it in the last like 53
Guess
years.
What? It's about the Vietnam War and it's sad.
Yeah. I grew up with those soundtracks. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Hair.
Mm-hmm. I was the narrator in Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. God, that's such a monster of a show to do as a narrator. Vivian in Legally Blonde. Did that.
Wait, that's a musical?
It's a musical.
It is a musical.
Fräulein Coste in Cabaret.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
I love Cabaret.
Hands down, yeah.
It was my senior thesis, and we cried every night at the finale, so.
Wait, Cabaret was your senior thesis?
Yeah, that was like, so, I mean... Yeah.
Okay, we gotta even almost do a whole other podcast. Because that... I grew up, like, I mean, that's the main one that I listen to.
Yep. It was a really cool production.
Two Ladies has been, like, one of my favorite songs since I was, like, four.
Oh, my God. It's great. It's crazy and wonderful. Some of the lyrics and those songs in that musical are just mind-blowingly, like, fantastic. Especially, like, the song, the Nazi song that they sing. It's, like...
Yeah.
So eerie and like also just, you know, the melody is very angelic
yeah,
and like
yeah.
very,
yeah.
you know, uplifting. And it's such a terrible, like,
yeah.
You know, it's just so weird. It's a great musical. I love that play. So I did a lot of musicals and then I was in some Shakespeare plays. I did some devised pieces. My college was really big on experimental theater. So,
oh, cool.
I would. Help kind of create our own pieces.
Did you ever think about going in that route, in the theater route, or writer, or Actor?
I would still like to act. I've done a few commercial kind of things.
Oh, yeah?
But as a career, it just didn't really appeal to me after 4 years of studying it in school. My parents were really excited about that. But I don't know. I'm using the performance to a degree now, and I think the gears that are turning for me at this point are, you know, if I were to tour, like, what are the visuals I would want to include? Like, what's the show look like? What is the... Because it's different than, like, just playing a set, you know? Like, it's a show.
Even your merch, mm-hmm. even your merch presentation is styled. You have style. Like, it's, yeah. Right down to that airline guitar.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. You're not playing it for the action. It's
Mm-hmm. It's... Yeah, I've done a lot of studying on, like, icons and, like, what, you know, like, when I was getting my logo designed, I was thinking a lot about, like, what have other bands done? Like, what catches the eye? What, you know, like, I think that probably why I don't have something out yet is because I'm a chronic overthinker and I like something to be perfect before I put it out there, which is not always the best.
Do you have a booking person or a manager or anything like that?
No. I'm doing it all myself right now.
I have a feeling when you get one, it's still going to be... You don't seem like a control letter goer.
Nope. OCD runs in my family super hard. Okay. So,
is that OCD or is it just like, I don't want to relinquish control of my shit to somebody else?
I think it's like, I have really high standards. So whenever I bring somebody on board...
you feel bad for them?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, because I know I'm a little bit of a hard ass.
Yeah.
But I know what I want.
So yeah.
I'm going to stick to that because... If I don't do that, then I'm not making myself happy. And if I'm not making myself happy, then I'm making people around me miserable, probably. So,
yeah.
Not going to do that.
Well, what are you going to do?
You're just going to try, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You excited to play the show on Friday, September 6th at the Mohawk?
Oh, yeah.
And you're doing really full band.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Taylor's doing double duty that night?
I guess so.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah. He doesn't have to sing two sets, so that won't be so bad.
He's going to be slapping that bass, girl.
Slap it a bass.
And how many pieces of your band? It's four?
Yes.
Lead guitar, drums, bass.
Bass.
And you're playing...
I'm playing, like, rhythm guitar, I guess, and singing.
Okay.
At some point, I'll be bringing the keys back.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I do that in my own thing. It's like electric guitar, acoustic, and then a keyboard thing. It's sometimes mm-hmm. I'm just like, Jesus.
A lot of stuff to bring.
Yeah. Schlepping that around, trying to put it on stage. It's mm-hmm. so much room.
I have an Akai MPK 88, so it's giant, and I am a small person.
Yeah.
So.
What did you say earlier? I'm a small lady.
I'm a small lady.
I'm going to start bringing this everywhere I go.
Yeah. I really want to get like a Juno or something.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool. I mean, the dream would be to get a Rhodes, like a suitcase Rhodes.
Oh, you know what you're missing. Mm-hmm. You can come back another time and mm-hmm. see it. It's at the hospital and has been since May.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a Rhodes and it's a 54 key. It's the size of a Wurlitzer. It's not full 73 keys. It's 54 keys. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. You'd be cool on something like that, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
But you can borrow it when I get it back.
Fantastic.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I think you're one of the coolest artists I've seen in a long time.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
Like, really...
High praise, thank
I
you.
I was really taken aback at your show. I was really moved. I think that you... you just got it. Whatever it is you gotta have, you had it. You had so much charisma was just oozing off of you that night, and you were so calm that this whole theater thing makes sense. It's like, okay, she knows how to
Didn't
be stand
calm.
Up there.
Did not feel calm.
Well, you're a great actor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. So.
I faced a bit of adversity, so I think it's... Just figuring out how to handle stressful situations with a smile on.
Yeah.
Or as
show business, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
sucks. Sometimes yeah, it sucks.
It sucks. It sucks to be, or like, like look perfect, or not perfect, but you know, like
yeah,
appear a certain way.
Yeah.
It is a job. Like even yeah. when you're off the stage and interacting with people, it's still a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they run into you at the grocery store. I see mm-hmm. people on the trail.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that I mind it. It's a really fucking cool.
It's
job.
Very cool. Yeah, it's very cool.
But you know, I think people don't always get it. Like,
no, I remember there was this lady that I had some kind of flirtation with at mm-hmm. a gig in Houston, mm-hmm. and then like a month later, my grandfather died, and I'd mm-hmm. been in Houston all week, mm-hmm. and there was a. his funeral that morning, and then I had to get in my car and come here and play this gig, and this lady thought it would be cool to surprise me, like, oh, I came to Austin for the weekend, I don't really have a place to stay,
oh,
kind
weird.
Of thing.
Okay.
And I didn't really know her even well enough for that kind of thing, but she never called me, she surprised me at the gig. And she's like, I want to hang out, and I was like, I don't want to hang out, I don't want to hang out with anyone, my grandpa died, man, that's my dude, that dude up there. So I was like, I'm sad. And then she wrote me this scathing text message about how selfish I was, that she had come all the way up here.
Oh my
she doesn't
God.
Get that much time off. And yeah.
Proselytize yourself. Why don't you?
Yeah.
Like, I know. I'm sorry.
That part of show business I don't enjoy.
No.
But that doesn't happen all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So your new EP is going to come out someday in the fall.
Yes.
And exactly. there's going to be a single that leads off the thing?
Yes.
What if it's not out by the time I put this out? Do you have something to give me to play on the show? Can I premiere something?
Yeah.
Or
everything should... I should have the single ready.
Okay.
The single.
So we'll stay
ready.
In touch. Is there anything I miss? I've really enjoyed talking to you. And yeah, if you listen to this show, I don't normally gush about people's talent. Unless I really think it's true. And I think you're a remarkable talent.
I try.
Yeah. Well, good. Don't stop trying. Find her at Aubrey Hayes band, dot band. Yeah, you can hear her music on SoundCloud until it comes out later. You can see Aubrey and her band Friday, September 6th at Mohawk with Quiet Company. And who else is?
Ram Vela and the... Oh, crap. Something. Gentlemen Rogues, I know, for sure. And then Ram Vela... I don't remember.
I think
the last part. I'm sorry. He has a crew. Ram Vela and whatever his crew is called.
He's got a whole crew?
I think he's got, like, I mean, he has a full band.
If I'm off that night, I'd like to come. I haven't seen Quiet Company in a while.
Yeah.
I need to see Taylor. I need to see you with the band.
Mm-hmm. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be really cool.
Yeah. And is there anything I'm missing?
Nope. I mean, if people, you know, as far as what's out, what's not out by the time this is out, if you go to my website and you email me that you want to be on my email list, I can always keep people in the loop that way. I feel like it's kind of the best way to get information out.
Sure.
So yeah, email list is where to go if you want to stay in touch, for sure. Instagram and all that jazz too, but like
yeah.
email list will be a slight bit more informative, and with a little bit more of a guarantee you'll see them in time for whatever
yeah
thing it is.
Well, I want to thank Daisy O'Connor for turning me on to you. She was like, come early, you gotta see
She's
this
wonderful.
Girl, you're gonna love her.
I love her. We wrote a song together at House of Songs.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't it a day I was doing something?
I don't know.
No, that's not right. It was her and Natalie Price who wrote that mm-hmm. day. You know Natalie?
Mm-hmm.
She's a good one too.
I saw her last night.
She did. I saw her Instagram video of you, and I wrote her and I said, oh, Aubrey's coming in today. And she mm-hmm. said, oh, she's amazing.
Yeah. Natalie's great. We've done a few gigs together. She keeps inviting me to do stuff. She's a good lady.
She's a good lady.
Mm-hmm. She's
a good person.
She's a very good person.
She's not gonna, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could leave cash out.
Right.
I think around her.
Yeah, no, definitely. I trust that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know how some people say I'd hit that? Right. The new thing will be like, I'd trust that.
I'd trust that, man. I like that. We'll start it.
We'll start it with Natalie. Yeah. I'd trust that. I'd trust Daisy. I'd trust that. Yeah.
I'd trust that. I trust a lot of, the people I've become kind of close with in the music scene just seem like very trustworthy individuals.
It's nice to have that sort of family.
Yeah.
And
well,
people
I think it's because you get screwed over a lot in this business, and so
yeah.
It's nice to have people to be kind of your sounding board and like, "Hey, does this sound like funky? Like, what's up with this?" And they can tell you like, "Yeah, that's good for this reason, but not good for this reason," or you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a community sounding board, really lovely, supportive humans in this town.
And you know, people that have been through stuff already that you can be like, "Hey, am I going through this the right way?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How bad am I screwing myself? But yeah, this has been a really good time, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing the show. Aubrey Hayes, find her at aubreyhayes.band. She's got music out there on SoundCloud. That single, I don't think, has come out yet. And I just, from listening to that, I realized I was supposed to put this show out before last Friday. Sorry about that, Aubrey. Trying to keep things juggling here. Man, there's a lot of people coming through here. A lot of people with events, a lot of people with shows, a lot of people with records. I'm trying to keep it all straight. Aubrey, I'm sorry you got lost there in the shuffle. Her new EP should be out sometime soon. Follow her. What a great conversation. What an amazing artist. Very, very cool. Great, great, great time talking to Aubrey. Get out there and check her out at aubreyhayes.band. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out aubreyhayes.band, you can find us. How did I get here? Wherever did you stream and download podcasts, even Spotify. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places you stream and download the podcast, go there, do it, follow us. Give us a rating. Give us a thumbs up. If you really like the show, share it. Let people know. Also, you know what? I think that we coined a new phrase. I'd trust that. That's right. Aubrey Hayes. More music from her. Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
And most of the time, it's sunny. Anyway. I'm a witch, I'm an enchantress, some may say. Cause the things I will into being have an awfully funny way of coming to be.